Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new message series, Don't Blink. But first, here's his message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 2.
Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Pleasing God is the purpose for every believer. And the Apostle Paul, who gave us these words under the authority of the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, is speaking with us as though he is a pastoral counselor. As he talks with us as to how we are to pursue life and to live to please God. And so in verse 3 he says, "For this is the will of God." Here it is. "Your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body," watch this, "in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles," that is the unbelievers, "who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger." He gives justice in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives the Holy Spirit to you." It is God's will that we be sanctified. Sanctified in the sense that we have been brought in to the family of God. We belong to Him. But not only is this our position, this is a process that begins in our lives as the Holy Spirit who lives within us, Christ in us, is making us more and more like Jesus. That's sanctification. And when we cooperate with Him, when we live to please Him and obey Him, He makes us more like the Master. Sanctification includes separating yourself from sin and attaching yourself to Jesus. It means separating yourselves from anything that would dishonor God or discredit God in your life and living to honor Him. A sanctified life is a life that is dedicated and consecrated to God. And it is God's will that all of us be sanctified. It's akin to the word holy. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says we are to pursue holiness in our lives. This is what pleases God. And this is the only way to live, because happiness is a byproduct of holiness. God is a holy God and a happy God. And He gives His holiness not only to make us holy, but to give us great pleasure. And pleasure is in doing what God has called us to do. Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." God's dreams for you and me are greater than our dreams for ourselves. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart, the pure and holy desires of your heart. So we're to be sanctified. What does that mean? Well, Paul gives us the example here when he talks to us about personal sexual purity. And I want to show you in this passage today not only the mandate for our sexual purity, the must for our sexual purity, But I want to show you the means for our sexual purity and the motivation for this purity. First, the must or the mandate for sexual purity. When you look at our text, verse 3, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain. Abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain means abstain. God has given sex as a gift. He has blessed it within the beauties of Christian marriage and family. And He has told us clearly again and again in Scripture that God has given us this gift. It was His idea, but it is not to be abused. So within the parameters of God's purpose for sex and marriage, He has said, enjoy. But beyond that, sex before marriage, sex during marriage, outside of the marriage relationship, God says, don't do it. Now, remember, Paul was writing to a Greco-Roman world. This was a sex-crazed culture. And many of the new believers at Thessalonica had come out, like at Corinth and other places, had come out of that old lifestyle. In other words, they had a sexual past, and it wasn't pretty. And now they've come to Christ, and yet everywhere they go, walk down the street, there are triggers and sexual temptations everywhere. And so Paul is saying to these believers, you can't do that stuff anymore. God's word is saying, you got to come out. You don't live that way anymore. You got to make a clean break from the world. In fact, this word abstain, you see it there again? Look at that word abstain. It means to make a clean cut. This is a commandment, not a suggestion. That's why the scripture says here, if you disregard this in verse 8, you're disregarding not man, not what Jack Graham thinks, but God, who gives the Holy Spirit to you. That is, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You know what is right. You know what God's word says. Paul expands on this just a page over in 1 Thessalonians 5, 22 and 23. Look at it. It says, abstain from every form of evil. Every form of it. Not only the act, the physical act, the sexual act, but every form of impurity. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Think of holiness as being wholeness. Wholeness. That your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless, not perfect, but blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Abstain. Abstain. I like what the Apostle Paul also said. Don't miss this. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is what we're to do. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness, may it not even be named among you as is proper among saints. You a saint? You a child of God? Don't let it be named among you. Verse 4, let there be, he expands the idea, let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, that is nasty, filthy joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, that is living this lifestyle, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. That word there, or the verse 3 when it says, let not sexual immorality or any impurity even be named among you. I like the way the ESV, the English Standard, gives that phrase. It says, let there not be a hint of immorality or impurity about you. around you, on you. Not a hint. Not a scent. Not even the smell of sin. Don't let the filth of this world get into your life. We are in the world, but we don't want the world to be in us. Unfortunately, we are becoming more and more like the world and less like Jesus. You can live a holy life. You can live for Jesus. God is keeping you. And if you will do your part, He will see you through.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 2. Sexual identity, racism, the sanctity of life, these are some of the hot-button topics in our culture that Christians are called to address. And in his brand new series, Don't Blink, Dr. Graham shows you how to stare down the enemy's lies and stand firm for God's truth as it relates to the current culture. Don't Blink is our thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel. So call now to request your copy of Don't Blink when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 2.
You say, okay, Pastor, I get it. I'm tempted, there are triggers, I'm addicted to certain behaviors in my life. How do I live differently than the world? It's interesting that in 1 Thessalonians, back to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, it says that each of you know how. I think it's also written as learn how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Control your own body. How? We learn how to be pure. How to live a godly life in an ungodly world, a pure life in an impure world, a moral life in an immoral world. How? P-U-R-E. Pure. And with these words, I've got a little acrostic for you today to give you a plan. The first word is P. It is prepare for spiritual attack. David, the great king, was a man after God's own heart when he sinned his great sin of adultery with Bathsheba. You're not better than David. You're not better than Paul, who himself confronted the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. So we're all in, and therefore we have to prepare for spiritual attack. You got to get a game plan. Look, the punch that you don't see coming is the most devastating punch of all. Get a strategy. Get your game face on every day. Because look, this is a battle, isn't it? Isn't it a battle? It's a battle for all of us. And you know, you can't just come to church and hear this sermon and take a knee. Over, win, no. We have to fight this good fight of faith every day of our lives. Put on the full armor of God. Satan is like a roaring lion, prowling and provoking whom he may devour. We are to discipline our minds and our bodies like an athlete. Paul said, I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. He said, I'm not playing here. I'm fighting the real fight. And he went on to say, I discipline, I buffet my body so that I, having preached to others, might become a castaway, might be set on the bench. So prepare yourself for spiritual attack. Paul said, what, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't desecrate the temple. Paul says, take the temple, your body, and live with holiness and honor. You are the created of God and redeemed by Christ. You're not an animal. You're not the byproduct of evolution. You are handmade by God. You are the temple of God. Don't desecrate the temple. Don't desecrate what God has made. You are created. Don't cheapen what God has made. That's what he's saying. And then you, pure, undo defiling associations. Undo defiling associations. Remove, listen very carefully, remove from yourself any friendship, any association, any person, place, thing, activity, entertainment, amusement. Get rid of anything in your life that brings you down. Pleasures, people, places, things, activities, entertainment. Get rid of that stuff. When Joseph was accosted, seduced by Potiphar's wife, he didn't stay around and talk about it and discuss it. He put on his PF flyers and ran like crazy. She grabbed his coat. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. Right? You know why Joseph got out and refused to compromise his convictions? Because God had given him a dream bigger than that. God's given you, students, teenagers, boys and girls, all of us, he's given us a dream bigger than the world can give you. Don't sell your dream for something cheap. Joseph had a dream that God would elevate him in due season. So he kept his dream alive by saying no. He said, how could I do this great wickedness in the sight of God? Undo defiling associations. Or remember the consequences. In verse 6, he says, let no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. In other words, don't cheat your brother. There's no such thing as silent sin, solitude in sin, or casual sin. There are consequences to sin. It affects other people. You can't say, well, it's just between me and her or me and him or whatever. You can't say that. Because no one sins alone in this matter, certainly not a Christian. He says, you're defrauding your brother in this. You know what that means? You're cheating on your brother. You're cheating on your wife. You're cheating on your kids. You're cheating on your church. You're cheating on your friends. Don't defraud your brother. Don't say, well, what I do is between me and myself and I. No, it impacts everybody. And if you are thinking about cheating on yourself and cheating on your wife and cheating on God, just remember you're cheating on your kids, you're cheating on your church family, and ultimately you are responsible to God because God says he is the avenger. He said, now you're trying to scare me? Well, if I could, I would. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He is the avenger. Be sure your sin will find you out. So before you decide to go out and have a little fling with your secretary, before you decide to cheat on your husband, remember there is a God in heaven who knows and sees it all. And he is the avenger, that is, he brings justice. And he will bring discipline. If you are a believer, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son. You can't get away with this. At the end, on a positive note, E, engage in positive spiritual activities. Engage in positive spiritual activities. All right, here's your game plan. Prepare for spiritual attack. every day. Put on the armor of God. Suit up. Get your game face on. Go. Undo defiling associations. Remember the consequences of sexual sin, and then engage in positive spiritual activities. Fortify your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 119 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Jesus spoke of the sanctifying power of his word. Sanctify them. My word is truth. We talk about this all the time, so I'm not going to elaborate, but you got to fortify your faith, strengthen your faith against the enemy. And the way you do that is the filling of the Spirit by walking in the word. Purify your thought life. Don't be conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of you keep running the old film from the past. You got to renew your mind. And the only way to wash your mind, cleanse your mind, is to fill it with God's word. Fill it with God's truth. Purify your thought life. Don't consider lust. Don't contemplate sexual behavior outside of God's plan for your life. Purify your thought life. Identify accountability partners. Associations, identify accountability. Have positive influences in your life that will encourage you and challenge you and not necessarily call you out, but call you up. Typically, we get in trouble when we get isolated and alienated, alone. That's why we need each other. And then finally, magnify the Lord Jesus. If you love Jesus, then the love and the things of this world will fade away. Now, I know this has been a hardball message, both parts. And I also know in preaching a message like this, in which we are raising the standards and elevating, helping protect our kids, our families, protect all of us. But I also know, like the Thessalonians, some would say, I've already got a past. I've got a history. I wish I'd have heard this. You can't imagine how many emails I got this past week after part one of this that said, I wish I'd have heard that years ago. But here's the good news. There's no sin that God cannot forgive. There's no unpardonable sin. His grace is greater than all our sin. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. We can't always change the consequences. In fact, we can't change the consequences of some of the decisions that we've made in the past. You can't unscramble eggs. But God can change your present, forgive your past, and give you a brand new future with Him. Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. When a woman caught in the very act of adultery was brought to him, they said, stone this woman. He said, who among you has not sinned? Would cast the first stone? None. They all walked away. Jesus looked at her with love and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You can have a new beginning, a new life, a new love in Christ, if you will come to Him.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 2. Our world is full of chaos and confusion, moral and spiritual darkness. What it needs to see is bold faith from followers of Christ. That's why Dr. Graham wants to send you his new 5-message series, Don't Blink. This series tackles some of the most pressing issues our culture is facing today, and shows how the Bible offers the answers our world so desperately needs. Don't Blink is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's Word through PowerPoint. So request your copy when you call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for? The Christian life is in the grace and the power of Jesus Christ, not in us, not what we can do. So I see a lot of people trying to get their act together, clean themselves up. They're motivated by guilt, not grace. And they just promise that they'll do better the next time and that they'll modify their behavior or change their behavior by human effort. Well, can I say that's all a recipe for disaster? Especially believers who are caught in sexual sin and addictions to sinful habits, they know the tragic truth of this lie. It is an endless cycle of resolving to please God by promising to do better and then falling back into sin and then being crushed by guilt again. I see this in people who are addicted to pornography, or especially those who are bound by sexual sin and bondages. The power to please God doesn't come from your resolve, your human resolve. It comes from the grace of the Lord Jesus when you commit to follow Him and when the Holy Spirit, yes, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. When you don't feed the flesh, but you feed the Spirit in your life. So breaking the cycle of sin and addiction and failure and frustration and defeat means looking to Jesus. It means looking to Jesus, not trusting in yourself, but truly believing that He can change you, and then being willing to obey Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. There are practical biblical steps that we can take to remain pure and please God, and we discuss some of those in today's message. But these steps are simply God's grace at work. It's not a work, but God's grace at work in your life. So take steps. Make sure that you're doing the right things to prevent yourself from being tempted beyond what you can bear. And then trust in a God who will enable you to say yes to Him and no to temptation. This is how you break the cycle of sin in your life. Let go of the reins, acknowledge your own weakness, trust in Him and Him only who can deliver you.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's brand new 5-message series, Don't Blink, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can love life, not just endure it. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.